The show is made possible in part by its supporting sponsors. Blue Water Power Group of Companies, Joe's Discount Tire, and AskGuy.ca.
You can see the beautiful artwork here behind me, and that's coming from this gentleman right here, who I've recently met, Brian Baker. Thank you so much for welcoming in. This is an amazing room.
Thank you.
I am not an artist by any means. I always say I have trouble drawing stick people, but that's why I can have an appreciation for somebody like you. This is the Hoju, I'm saying
Hoju
that right?
Tattoo, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And we're here on Water Street, or not Water Street, Phillips Street. Right, yeah, 880 Phillips Street, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're into tattoos and you know, you're looking around, maybe you're looking to switch gears with somebody else, or maybe you're just looking to get started, we'll put that in the comments as well. And I'm sure Brian would love to see your comments about tattoos and maybe the ones you've got. I have this many tattoos, Brian. I thunk about it a long time ago, and it's not for everybody, is it?
It's not for everybody, but there is something for everybody.
Right.
There's so many different things to do and so many different things you can accomplish through tattooing. So it strikes the fancy of a lot of different areas for people. Sometimes they want to improve the way they look. Sometimes they just want to look cool. Sometimes they want to commemorate something. And we do all that stuff here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter as far as style or any age or walk of life.
Okay. So I guess I like to always go back. You're from Oshawa originally, is that right?
Yeah, like I moved down here from Oshawa. I've tattooed in a few different cities in mostly that area. Simcoe County, Peel region, and I don't know what Oshawa is. Durham.
right.
Yeah, and Toronto. I worked there for a while. I just didn't want to be in the GTA anymore.
What was it that brought you to, like, why Sarnia?
Well, there's industry here. It's far enough away from the greater Toronto area that it's just calmer. Like, it's literally, it's far enough away from the 401.
Right.
Like, good solid hour away from the 401. Like, even when you get up to London, it's just crazy again.
It is. You're right.
I commuted from Oshawa, or like Orangeville, where I was living. That's when I really started commuting. But I started commuting from Orillia to Orangeville, which was an hour. And then I started doing Orangeville to Oshawa, which was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then I started doing Oshawa to Newmarket, I did that for 7 or 8 years.
You're white knuckling it all
every,
the time.
Right? Every winter I was just like having an existential crisis. Right? I can't do this anymore. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I'm risking my life to go and do tattoos. And then I would get all the way there in a snowstorm and my client would call and be like, oh, it's too snowy. I'm canceling. Like, great.
I just drove all this way. Thank you very much. Love it when people cancel.
Yeah, I live 5 minutes away from here, which is terrific. Yeah. So I'm pretty much here all the time.
So you're enjoying Sarnia then?
Yeah, I love it. I haven't, I've only been down for a year, and we've been building this place since we got here, so I haven't really gotten to enjoy too much of it.
Yeah, well, last time I was here, I think it was just around the tail end of summer, maybe.
Yeah.
And I came in here, and I've seen so many changes already.
Yeah,
it looks
constantly
fantastic.
Evolving. We have a lot of space here, too, so we focused on smaller areas so we could get going, and then now we've moved into working in the bigger areas as far as, like, a workshop and all that stuff.
Because you have a crew, right?
Yeah, I got a team. Yeah. There's myself tattooing here, my student, Valencia, and one of my friends from Oshawa moved down here, Mallory Joan, and we have our manager, Sabrina. And together we are Hoju Tattoo.
Right.
We got a whole bunch of projects on the go that I always feel like I'm always super behind because we have so many on the
go. Right. How can you, I mean, there's a lot of tattoo shops popping up more and more every day, even here in Sarnia. What's different about Hoju Tattoo?
I don't know. I'm here 15, 16 hours a day. I don't know. I don't think we're much different than any tattoo shop other than we have work ethic and we work a lot. It's the only way you can really survive the landscape that this industry is now is be the best tattooer that you've ever been, because there is so many and anyone can do it.
What makes a great tattoo artist besides the obvious?
Work ethic and dedication. It's practice. Like with any type of artwork, if you're not practicing, you're not going to be good at it. So I couldn't draw a stick figure either at one point. Right. You know, it's just I just cared enough to keep doing it until I could.
Yeah.
It's just like with any sport. Like if you're dedicated and you're getting up early in the morning and you're doing it, you'll be good at it.
That's true for sure.
So
how did you learn? Did you just start or did you like have instruction or?
I did a traditional apprenticeship. I saw my mom get a tattoo when I was like 5 years old.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I thought the guy was so cool in this little dangling earring. I'm like, I want a dangly earring and I want to do tattoos.
Five, oh boy.
I was like, this is the best thing ever. So it was in my mind really early on. So in my hometown, like I was skateboarding and hanging out at the tattoo shop. It was right downtown. So I used to hang around there. And, you know, I was drawing already. Like I always really liked just drawing. I was really shitty. I was really not good at it.
It's only Facebook.
But they saw that I had some sort of potential, especially because then it wasn't, none of the guys that worked there were necessarily talented.
Oh.
They just did tattooing as a job. So I was drawing stuff for them and they were like, this is great. Like, you should work here. You should apprentice here. And I was like, well, I'm 14. So they're like, oh, well, you can't even get a tattoo here. So you can't work here.
Right.
So I waited it out. And then by the time I was finished up high school and stuff, I had like a job and I was kind of busy doing other things. And then, like, I was working in the construction industry, and in 2008, it just was gone. So at that point, I was like, well, I have nothing to do. So I went to the shop, and I was like, hey, like, I'd like to do that apprenticeship now. I was 21 then. They're like, sure. So I started working there. Didn't pan out for very long because it was at the tail end of that, the existence of that tattoo shop anyway.
Oh, okay.
So I worked it out there as long as I could, and then I got hired at another shop, and then I worked until I could work at the best shop in town, and that was...
Because you've become very well known around that area, right? You know, for sure.
Yeah, there, yeah, sure. Yeah, as well known as a tattooer can be. I mean, you're only famous to people that are tattoo enthusiasts.
Right.
Like, I know, yeah. I know tattooers who are, like, to me, like, the most famous tattooers ever, and, like, nobody knows who they are.
Yeah. Do you ever watch, there's some reality TV shows that... Where I know my wife Jennifer made me watch one time, and I was just like, I was like, oh, okay, like is that a real side, or is that television?
It's television.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I actually know a couple of people
that worked
in that reality TV industry doing those tattoo shows, and it's all nonsense, but it's cool to see tattoos.
Yeah,
and it's like if it wasn't for all the nonsense parts of it, it wouldn't be interesting.
Right.
Like just watching someone get a tattoo is like, holy man, is this going on all day?
It's like a movie, they gotta kind of enhance it, right?
Or like even when you get a client that's like, oh, my friend wants to watch you work on this like 8-hour tattoo, it's like after the first hour you'll be gone.
Right.
Like, what am I watching?
See, that's the thing for me too, is like A, I'm not into pain. B, I don't know that I'd have the patience to sit still long enough for you to do that tattoo on me.
Nah, it's meditative. Like some people love it. Some people insist on like finishing the piece in one session just because they want to have it complete. It's about the way you look.
Yeah.
So some people will be like, look, dude, like I really want to get this done. I don't care if it takes 8 hours. I don't really like to tattoo for that long just because my back hurts and my eyes hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
But
what would you say to you know, a lot of young folks, like you were 14, you said, getting started. But young folks who want the dad, I want a tattoo, and they're like 12 or 14, and their parents are telling them no. How do you feel about that?
I would tell them no too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even we do like 18 and over here, mm-hmm. and even then it's up to our discretion of what we're putting on people, because even when you're 18, it's like. Even when you're 30, you're like, that tattoo, you're not going to dig when you're 35.
Right.
So, like, we're informed, and I've been wearing tattoos for a long time, and I'm just like, God, I can't believe I have this on my body. So I'm not in the habit of doing that to somebody else.
What about the ones where they come and say, I'm getting married, and I want to put her name on there?
Tell them it's bad luck.
Right.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, yeah, you can do it, but you'll be back here for a cover-up. Yeah. Don't do it. And like I've even had it happen where it's like, oh, I've been married to her for 50 years. It's like, then it's like, why, what do you need the tattoo for?
Yeah,
you've been married for 50 years. This is to prove that I love her. It's like the 50-year marriage.
50-year marriage might have already said enough.
I think you might have already said enough.
Yeah. Yeah, right, Brian?
Yeah.
You must have a lot of conversations with people. Yeah. I would imagine that's a part of the process is, okay, like if I came to you for my first one especially, right? Is there, do you have like some key questions that you ask? Like if, I don't have a tattoo. Sure. I come to you, Brian, and I say, I want a tattoo. I'm not sure what I want.
What do you want it to mean? What do you want it for? Yeah. Like if you want it to just be cool and get a tattoo, be cool and get a cool tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I have all kinds of relationships with people and relationships with my clients where I like to put things on them where they can change the meaning for it as they grow, because everybody grows and changes. Putting lyrics on yourself or something like that, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you can't really change what that is. It just says what it says.
Yeah.
You know, you get some flowers and stuff like that. It's like they mean something and you can always change the meaning to it. And as you grow, your tattoo grows. You should be wearing, like, and we tattoo responsibly here, where we want people to feel better when they have the wearing the tattoo that they have, not ultimately one day going like, this was a huge mistake, I don't want to wear this anymore.
Yeah.
And then they're, you know, fascinated with getting it lasered off or fascinated with getting it covered, and it's like, now you don't like the way you look.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to make you look better and feel better. So I usually tell people that. It's like, you think this thing is going to make you feel better in the long run? Probably not. And if you're having a shitty time right now, like, this is not a good idea to get this tattoo.
Right. Bad time to make a choice. Because it really is a life choice, isn't it?
Getting a tattoo. It's a mega change to the way you look. And it's a mega permanent. The idea of getting your tattoos laser. I've had laser. It's horrible. It hurts like hell.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And it takes a long time. It's not necessarily super expensive anymore, but, you know, if you think you're like, if I change my mind, I'll just get it lasered. It's like, you probably won't. Like, you'll be living with this thing for a long time. So get tattooed responsibly. Mm-hmm. It helps to, like, have conversations with people and to have stuff like this as examples. Like, this is what you can look like.
Yeah.
Rather than people going like, well, I don't know, I just want something cool. It's like, well, I have options for you.
Yeah, right.
And I've done a lot of these tattoos, so, you know, let's do something nice and let's talk about it and have a conversation about it. And then once you open it up, then it's like, you're like, well, I don't really know what I want to get. And it's like, I can have a conversation with you for a half hour, and I'm sure we can figure it out.
Yeah. You can feel out who they are, what they're about.
Yeah, what you think, what you like.
What their philosophies are, probably, that kind of thing.
I have, like, a lot of reference materials with books and stuff like that. It's like, have a quick read. You'll start figuring it out.
I think that would be me, as I'm a philosophical kind of guy, so I'd want, I might want some kind of a saying on that.
Sure.
Would you talk me out of that?
I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I would just say that this is going to be what this is forever.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't let a 19-year-old come in here and get, like, Wiz Khalifa lyrics.
Right,
and,
or FTW.
I had one girl argue with me one time. She was, like, she was 18, 19. She came in the shop, and she wanted a pot leaf on her wrist and 420 on her other wrist. And I was like, no. And she's like, well, like, my mom's totally cool with it. I was like, your mom's totally not cool. Like, if she's just going to let you get that tattoo on her, like, I don't care what your mom thinks or what you think. You should not get that. And if you're going to get it, don't get it done here.
Right? So did you turn her away?
Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
She'll thank me for it. She probably is happy that I didn't do it now.
Yeah.
That was years ago.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like what I would say that for you, your business is got a lot of integrity attached to it.
It should. It does.
Yeah.
Tattooing should have integrity. It's major changes, especially when you're working a large-scale tattoo work, working on bodies, working on backs, working on legs, chests, shoulders. It's a mega change to the way somebody looks and a mega change to the way they're perceived.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, I want to get this on my chest. It's like, it's really scary looking. People are going to think you're scary. As long as you're okay with that, that's something you should be aware of. Especially with women. It's like, you shouldn't be really putting that, because, like, your chest is your face when you're a woman, right?
Right.
So it's like, you should steer away from that tattoo, because if you don't like it in 5 years, you're going to be putting a bigger tattoo there, or you're going to be getting painful laser right across your chest, and that you're not going to be happy with the way you look in the long run.
Yeah.
So I like to operate with integrity for sure.
Yeah. Is the industry, like, I go back to, I'll go back to the 80s when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Man, if you got a tattoo, you were a tough dude, man. You were.
Sure.
And that was the stigma, I guess, attached. it seems like, just outside looking in, that this industry has grown and has gained a lot more integrity.
In certain ways it has, and in certain ways it's lost a lot of it too.
Really? How so?
Well, there's a lot more people tattooing at a level where it would operate the same way as a hair salon. It's like, oh, I'm going to go get my little tat done. Don't really care what it is. Don't really care what meaning it is. Hasn't really spent a lot of time learning to tattoo. And then you just get a tattoo. $100. That's one area. Like, there's lots of different types of tattooers. And, like, some people do certain styles of tattoo that just won't hold up. They don't really care. It's a paycheck. They don't study. They don't paint. They don't work on it. So in some areas, like, everyone's gotten so good or not. And the really good tattooers are really good.
Yeah.
So they operate with integrity, and they try, and they work really hard at it. You're not just born an amazing artist. Like, it takes a lot of work. So you can tell. You can look at two people's portfolios and tell who works harder.
Right.
And who cares more about it.
Yeah.
So in some areas, it's gotten a lot more competitive, because there's so many good tattooers out there. And some areas, it's just like, whatever. You can just do tattoos if you want.
Yeah. Where is the government in all of this? Like, do they control, like, there's a lot of health issues going on here, I would say, or cleanliness issues. Are they involved?
Oh, the health board, yeah. Health board inspected, just like any other, hair salon would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on it's so weird, because county to county, they have different sets of rules. There is no actual industry standard.
Okay.
So they kind of make shit up as they go.
Do you think do you think there should be?
There is, but it's so loose, and then some people are stricter than others, and they just decide what they want to do. But for the most part, it's pretty basic, especially now with everything being disposable. Everything is used one time and it's thrown away.
Right.
So there's not any real risk of, like, we're not recycling tools, we're not processing and sterilizing anymore. So it's pretty safe. Yeah. It's about as safe as going to get your hair cut.
Right, right.
As long as you're not doing anything irresponsible with an open wound, which is basically, it's not even as bad as a really bad burn.
Right. Well, that whole thing there is probably another stigma that's been attached to the industry. Oh, make sure they clean their needles, make sure they're
the cleaning the needles was gone around the 70s, I think. In the 80s, it was like, that's when they started wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Like, cleaning needles and wearing gloves and shit. Yeah, that all changed a long time ago. Yeah. Everything's gone leaps and bounds. We don't, like, the EO gas sterilization that they do, we can't even legally do it because it's such an extreme and explosive process. It needs to be handled off-site.
It's not a dentist office either.
No. And, like, autoclaves and stuff like that, they're totally fine. But, like, as far as a needle goes, you'd never, like, I remember reading my first Tattooing A to Z by Huck Spalding. It was the first book my first mentor gave me. He's like, read that. And I was like, it tells me how to toothbrush out my needles. And he goes, yeah, you're never going to have to do that. I'm like, why am I reading this?
Right.
He's like, to make your needle a bit bigger, they used to jam them through their jeans to make them fray out so you can shade with them. I'm like, is that what you do? And he's like, no, you don't do that either. I'm like, why am I reading this book? It's ancient technology. Everything now is prepackaged. Order it, comes in, tattoo with it, and then throw it away.
Yeah. And then the quality that you order. I mean, the
best quality
in the ink, right?
And Canadian companies. Like to keep it in-house. Especially, like, a lot of the companies that, at this point, I know the people that own and operate them, so I trust them. Like, it's a pretty small community.
Really. Yeah.
There's a lot of tattooers in Canada, but as far as suppliers goes, there's not.
Really?
There's only, like, two or three main ones.
That's interesting to me. I would have thought with the growth of the industry that maybe there would be more getting into being the supplier, or maybe that's just
good. It's easier to be a tattooer than it is to be, like, an equipment designer.
Yeah.
So you can buy garbage on Amazon, but to be, like, a high-end tattoo equipment designer, manufacturer, and supplier is a lot harder. It's too much work. It's easy to be like, well, I'm going to buy a tattoo machine on Amazon and start doing tattoos in my house. Go for it. Anyone can do that, but to be a tattoo supplier it's way more work. So there's not a lot of them.
Yeah. This is your work here behind us here. And you do these, so this is a tattoo idea?
Yeah, it's a concept.
Yeah. And then you do the framing for these as well, right?
Yeah, I do the custom framing, everything from top to bottom. That's like being a painter and an artist, this is stuff that they would put together in a college program. Like as if you're a photographer, that's where you learn framing, is to be, if you want to sell your work, it needs to be framed, or else right. It's just a piece of paper.
Right.
So that kind of became part and parcel of what I do, as far as if I want to sell a painting, nobody's going to pay me a high amount of money for just a sheet of paper.
Right.
So once it's framed and done and then it's displayed, plus I'm a collector, so
right.
All the artwork that I collect, I don't want it to sit in a drawer.
Right.
So it
rot away.
Yeah, like, and it's framing's a super fun, I enjoy it a lot. It's because I like visuals and I like designing and I like the way a room ends up looking when there's right. Frames in them.
It really is a skill, a trade in itself, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's, yeah, there's framing school, which I think is, it might be 2 weeks long or something like that.
Oh.
It's all the tools and the books, though. Like, you can be taught, you can learn that on YouTube, basics of framing. It's just all the other stuff. And then getting into the business of it, there's wholesalers and stuff like that. You need to be licensed and have an actual business and a commercial address.
Oh, wow.
So you can get stuff shipped to you. It's a whole other industry. I started doing it for fun, and then I just ended up meeting other framers like, you got to do this, you got to get into that. And then I started doing it at a different level, which I thought was really, really fun. But it was almost like, okay, this is a whole other job, a whole other business that I wasn't quite ready to get into. But I'm going to pick it back up. Like, yeah. I still do framing here. It's just not as open to the public.
Right.
Like, I do framing for artists that I know. So we have a small art production company that does art shows. So if I have an artist friend, we're actually doing his third show this year.
Oh, yeah.
Where he does all the pieces, sends us all the pieces, we frame the entire thing, and then we build displays, and then we do the show. So we do all his little flyers and cards and everything like that. And then we do the show, and it goes by like that, and then we all go home.
Right, right.
But we did 30 pieces for his first show, then we did 20 for his second. I think this time it's 10.
Yeah, okay.
30 was a lot.
Who is this?
It's my friend Andrew Wilson. He's up in Newmarket. Yeah, he does like really cool. This one's going to be more of like a comic book art based stuff. It's pretty neat. He's pretty popular guy.
Yeah,
he goes all over the place tattooing, and he's a tattooer as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking up here. I see St. John's Tattoo Convention.
Yeah.
So, is that an annual convention that you go to, or?
Yeah, it's. I think that banner's from like the sixth one.
Yeah.
I did that. I did that on a whole bunch of times. Did it this year. I don't know if I'm going to go back next year.
Right.
Traveling has gotten so expensive. I did three shows this year. I did Kelowna, Winnipeg, and Newfoundland. They were all pretty fun.
What about doing something here?
There was one here a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, there was. That's right, a few years ago, yeah.
I got an idea to do a smaller, sort of more intimate style convention here with like 8 or 9 tattooers rather than like, that's the other thing. The shows have gotten so big that you have a community of people that go to these conventions. And there's only so many people that go to them.
Right.
And then they have so many tattooers, and then they start trying to double it. And then there's so many there's only almost as many tattooers there as there are people that go to it. So they get slower and slower,
right.
And the price going to them gets higher and higher. So at the last couple of years that I did conventions, I'm like, I'm not even breaking even anymore.
Yeah, it's not worth your time.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And I go there and I see a lot of my friends, and it's, you know, it's a trade show. So you're going there, you're tattooing, you're hanging out, and you're meeting people, and you're drinking and checking out the town. Like, I've been to Newfoundland so many times now, and I really like it. But I was going to go this year and then just not tattoo. I was like, I want to go and
just go
see
and hang
the puffins.
Out, see,
and yeah, right. I want to go see the whales. Like, I'm always in the...
It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, it's great. But I'm always in the convention center. So I'm like, yeah, I don't really do much.
Yeah, I went to Newfoundland, but I didn't really see it.
Well, I did Kelowna. This was the second time I've done it. And the first time I did it, it was all business. Like, we worked the whole time. And we went this time, and I was like, I don't care if we work at all. We have our station. We paid for it. We can do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
I want to roam around town. Like, after you roam around Kelowna for an afternoon, you're like, well, that's it. I was like, let's go back to work there.
Yeah.
You
you seem to me like you're a learner. You're constantly growing yourself as an artist.
Yeah. I'm obsessive.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
I have, keep my hands busy with something. So it's kind of all I do.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. That's what the nature of being an artist is.
And would you take on an apprentice at some point?
I have
point?
One.
Yeah, the one that you have now?
Yeah, it's my first one. Yeah. I've had her for a year, just over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing a really good job. It's my first time doing it, and I've learned a lot teaching. My grandfather was a teacher at Georgian College, and he told me that, and I was like, oh, I don't know. What are you going to learn teaching? And after I got into it, I was like, it could actually, the stuff that I would just instinctively do or talk about and learning to articulate it and explain it so it made sense. I was like,
right.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Yeah, that's why I do that. And then I go and practice it. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, she's come along really well. It's been a lot of fun.
And what's her aspirations?
I don't know. She's been tattooing since the start of the year. It's kind of the thing with tattooing is it can be whatever you want it to be. So she could be an insanely obsessed learner. She could be a craftsman. She could be an artist. She could kind of be whatever you want to be. This tattooing kind of gives you a platform to just figure it out. It's a way to be a professional artist while you learn to be an artist.
Right.
Like, I didn't know much about anything when I started tattooing other than doing graphite portrait work, which is like entry level basic stuff. And then all the paint skills and everything and the framing and all that stuff I learned while supporting myself being a tattooer. So it evolves in so many different ways, and it just depends on every individual. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what you want
to
do.
A lot of different directions to take then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you say, the figure it out.
Yeah, there's and like every
kind of earn while you learn.
Sure. There's all kinds of different people that tattoo. So there's people that are just wanting to tattoo and be cool, and then they kind of just fizzle out because it's not as exciting as they thought it was going to be. Like, well, what's that say to me? And you mean, like, I had one kid come in and he wanted to learn to tattoo, and I was like, why? He's like, you know, I'm just sick of this 9-to-5 job, you know?
Fair enough.
I was like, so you want a 12-to-12? 7 days a week? He's like, well, is that how much you work? I'm like, yeah, if you want to be a tattooer and be good at it and make a living, it's not like you're just like, here's your tat gun. Have a job.
Yeah.
Make a career out of it. It's pretty
it's not that simple.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's all consuming. It's just like any profession. Like when you're working for yourself, anybody that works for themselves know that you work more than 9-to-5.
Yeah, the business, you don't own the business. The business owns you kind of thing.
You don't get, you don't have holidays.
How long have you been self-employed?
I don't know. Depends on your definition of self-employed. I've been tattooing for 14 years.
Yeah.
And I've worked in so many different like formatted shops where it was like street shop where you paid the boss, you have a boss, but I never really had a boss. Like they were, you know, they'd come in and be pissed off when the place wasn't clean. That's about it.
Yeah.
Like I tattooed, like I basically was self-employed right away. It's like I could work as much as I wanted to. And I've had a private studio. I worked in a collective with a group of friends where we all shared it. And
shared space, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah, it runs its course because everybody grows, and usually the people that I try to work with are on the same kind of trajectory where you're going up, trying to get somewhere. So if you're just kind of hanging it in the same zone, you just end up staying in that same zone.
Yeah.
So self-employed, I don't know.
What's it been like getting to the business side of things? What's it been like for you? I'm sure it's a learning journey on how to run a business and
taxes
and administration.
I don't like it. No, I have a good manager. Yeah, I've definitely learned how to outsource. I don't like the business end of it at all. It's actually quite frustrating. It's not what I do. I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And like as far as the framing business, like I can talk my way into a lot of things and get where I want to get, but then I was like, once I'm there, I'm like, I don't know what to do with this now. Like I got it, somebody help me. So yeah, as far as running a business goes, I'm not the hugest fan of it.
Yeah,
but as far as just being able to tattoo and work with people that I want to work with and be able to like ultimately make a decision where like this is someone I want to spend time, I'm going to be here with them every day.
Yeah,
So I got to be
able to. Choose your partners.
Exactly, yeah. Choose who you want to be around, because that's the way your day is going to go.
Right, right.
That part I like. And I like working hard, and I like setting an example for people that, you know, want to use that example to make themselves better. But yeah, as far as running a business, it's not my favorite thing to do.
Hey, listen, while you're watching this out there in this conversation, if you've got a tattoo, take an appropriate picture of it and share it in the comments. I'm sure Brian would love to see some of the art that's out there. And maybe you've got some comments for him as well. I always find it interesting, artists, because it's such a diverse title. I'm an artist.
Yeah.
Right? And there's so many different directions. What was it about, like, you could have went any direction. What was it about tattooing that you said, I know you talked about the cool guy that your mom got a tattoo from, but what was it, as you got older, what made you say, I need to go back to that shop and be an apprentice?
So I had done all my prerequisites through high school to go to art school. My art teacher was this, like, I had all through, like, your college prep courses through art. This is the same one who was actually a family friend, because my grandfather was, he was a teacher as well. And actually the teacher lived, my art teacher lived down the road from us. So I'd known her forever, and she taught my dad, taught my uncle. So she was really pulling for me and got me all these, like, applications and all the paperwork and everything for all the different schools in Toronto to go to art school. And I just couldn't pull the trigger. And I'm like, this, none of this seems interesting to me. I don't want to work on a computer. I did the, like, graphic design and stuff like that, and I was like, this is not what I want to do. Like, like, putting a type font over and putting some cherries behind it, I'm like, that's not what I want to do. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, and I suck at it. I'm not good at it at all. So I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And then there was, like, animation, and I was like, that's all computer too. Like, it didn't make any sense. So I talked to a couple of fine artists who were like, oh yeah, fine art's the way to go. And I'm like, okay, well, like, how do I do this? Like, I don't know anything really about being a professional fine artist. Like, I knew a few, and it seemed like most of them were walking around in their pajamas drinking wine and, like, selling two or three paintings a year.
Right.
And at that point, they had no clue really what was going on in tattooing. They still thought it was, like, skull crossbones on the arm, and you're in a shop drinking liquor and, you know, being a deadbeat. And I was like, no, I was like, I got, like, an apprenticeship opportunity that, like, I can make some money tattooing. And they're like, oh, bullshit, you'll never be able to make money tattooing. I'm like, well, I'm going to, like, what do I got to lose? Like, I was like, I'll learn to tattoo, and then while I'm deciding to go to do what I'm going to do in college. And then I figured I would just tattoo and help put myself through college.
Yeah.
I started tattooing and never did anything else. So I just kind of fell into it, and then it is what you make it. Like, a lot of people that I started tattooing with don't tattoo anymore.
Right. They're on other things.
Yeah, and I never really thought, like, okay, like, this is my job.
This has always been your plan A.
Yeah.
You just go. Yeah. And keep going.
Yeah. I didn't, it's funny, I've talked to so many people over the years that are like, oh, I used to do this as a job. I'm like, you've had more than one? I'm like, that's pretty crazy. Like, I never, you know, imagined that I would do anything else now.
Yeah. You know? Well, most, I think there's a stat probably that says most people have three career changes in their life, but that's not for you. You just,
this. Well, yeah, and I grew up doing drywall, like doing interiors. That's what my dad did, and I worked with him from the time I could walk until I started tattooing. So it taught me a lot, like, taught me trigonometry, taught me how to work hard, taught me a lot of stuff. Doing interiors is a lot of trades involved in it. It was a lot of fun. It's stuff that I apply to my framing. Like, I learned how to read a tape measure. A lot of people aren't even learning how to do that.
Right.
So that was my first job. And this is my second one.
Yeah. But it's helped you with this, though, like you're saying.
Absolutely, right? 100%. You know,
there's so much precision in what you do, I think. Like, I just picked, and I'm just going by, you know, I'm looking around the room, I'm seeing some tools here, and I'm probably going by the television thing too, where, like, you're so, like, your eyes would be so important to you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't need these
until
last, like, maybe I was, like, 4 or 5 years into tattooing before my eyes started.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly, too, the muscular. like if I'm staring at something for really like this and not training myself, like the my like click back doesn't work as well.
Right.
But I have to like exercise my eyes, my hands. I'm pretty good though. Like I don't have arthritis or anything like that. My back gets sore in my neck, but like it's when you first start out tattooing, you're doing this, and then when you by the time you're like comfortable with what you're doing, you end up sitting properly.
Yeah,
because you know that it takes a toll on you.
On your back.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of tattooers like really into yoga. Exercise.
I was gonna say, do you work out?
I try to. I do. Like I got really addicted to yoga for a while.
Yeah.
And then you know, it kind of escapes you, because like I said, I'm pretty obsessive. So sometimes I'm over my workbench for. You know, 9 or 10 hours, and then next thing you know, I'm in bed. So, yeah, just kind of goes that way.
Is there how many tattoos do you have?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've always heard people. Oh, I got 10 tattoos. I got 20.
I got a bunch. I got really cool ones, and I got a bunch of really not.
I see you've
cool
got ones. Like right inside your ear there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've been just casually looking at it from time to time, and I'm thinking about how painful that might have been.
That wasn't too bad. It was more noisy than anything.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and we did it at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Came into the shop and we were having coffee and I was like, I was thinking about getting the inside of my ear tattooed. My buddy's like, let's do it right now. Let's do it before my client gets here. And I was like, oh man, it's like really early. Whatever.
You got it done.
Yeah, and just did it. And it doesn't look nearly as good as it did.
No.
Turned into that just looks like
even on the side here, like that's
yeah.
Like that's a sensitive area, like.
Yeah, I don't like getting my temples tattooed, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't like getting I just got my back finished this year. And it was quite the adventure because there's so many different parts of the body involved in your back.
Yeah.
Your lower back, your ribs, your upper shoulders. It was disgusting. But it looks really cool, and I'm really happy that I did it.
Yeah. You're happy with the result?
Yeah. Yeah. A really close friend of mine did it, so it was every time I got tattooed, we got to spend some time together. Someone I've been tattooing with my whole career.
Nice.
Yeah.
You must, there has to be a lot of trust between you and the client.
Absolutely.
Especially females.
Yeah.
Coming in wanting tattoos in certain areas of the body.
Yeah.
And how do you establish that with you know, all the dangers that go along with doing something that private? Do you sign an NDA or something like that? Have that conversation?
No, it's pretty mellow. People that want to get tattooed where they want to get, it's a procedure. It's just like anything else. Like, I'm a professional, and you know, there's a reason that people come here. It's just a body part, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Seen it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really chill environment. There's a lot of chicks around, like, that work here, so it's not like a weird place or anything like that.
Never had the jealous husband have to sit there with you while it's getting done or
No.
Would you allow that?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Pretty much allow anything that you want to be comfortable. Like if you want to bring a friend, bring a friend. If you want your husband to be here, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter to me. Whatever it takes, because like it, like especially you're getting tattooed, like it does hurt. You know, sometimes people bring a teddy bear. And I just want to grab this thing and cuddle it to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, bring as many teddy bears as you want, as long as it gets you through the tattoo.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good coach as far as like getting people through like a good amount of pain.
You need to be.
You know, it's not do or die whether you finish it. You know, it's not like if you don't get this done, like this is going to be like, we can always just finish it.
So it would be more than one visit a lot of times.
Oh yeah. I got a few clients that are, you know, some get real excited to get a project finished, so they'll come every 2 weeks for like 6-7 months. Sometimes they come once a month for like a year.
Okay.
I've got one client right now that I've been seeing once a month for like 2.5 years, working on a bodysuit.
Wow.
Yeah.
A whole body full. Like, I've seen some, I mean, the internet's a wonderful place. Sometimes I've seen some pretty wild, I was Googling before the last couple of days before I came here to talk to you and doing my diligence, right? And I was like, wow, that's craziness.
It's an extreme amount of dedication. More so on a client than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I like to paint, and I enjoy doing the tattoo, but like
whole head and
Well, and like for them to dedicate themselves to getting a tattoo that big, is incredible, because you're, one, it hurts like shit. Two, right. Two, you're paying for it.
Right.
And like a lot of my clients, like I got clients in Sarnia, but a lot of them come from out of town. They come from the GTA, so some of them drive down, get tattooed for 5 hours, and then drive back. So I'm just like, I just want to throw them a parade every time they show up. Like, you're amazing. You're keeping me involved. You know.
Right. Yeah, because after 5 hours of being tattooed, and then there's a feeling in the body, I would think, that would not make me want to drive back to tomorrow.
Yeah. People call it tattoo brain. Oh. You're just kind of a little stupid. Like, when you're, like, I'm getting tattooed, and I'm like, I'm saying the dumbest stuff I've ever said. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Don't listen to me. You know, I'm in pain. Really? I want it to be over. Yeah. And then,
it's like a truth serum?
Yeah,
or?
Well, it's important for me to tell people, like, you should, you know, have a... you know, some food, for one.
Right.
Like, while you're getting tattooed, have some stuff, and then definitely have something to eat before you drive home. But a lot of my clients are local, too, so they just, like, throw the T-shirt on and head on home.
Yeah, right. You've had a good response, then, from Sarnia?
Yeah, it's been great, yeah. There's a lot of really cool people here. But meeting a lot of people that typically, like, the last bunch of years, like, I'm meeting people that have, like, amazing tattoo work. And I'm like, wait, like, they're like, well, I go to Hamilton, I go to Toronto, and so I'm getting to meet some new people where I'm like, cool, man, like, cut that drive out for you a little bit.
Yeah, come here, right? Mm-hmm. And then, because that sort of alluded to my next question, is like, if they're already going somewhere, what would make them come here?
Just for my artwork.
Yeah, just the difference in your style.
It's same thing with, like, every other tattooer, and they all have an individual look, a technique, a thing, you know? Everybody's prices are pretty universal. Everybody usually works the same way. And, like, everybody's pretty professional. You know what I mean? Everyone kind of operates on the same thing. Nobody's undercutting each other or being evil. And
right.
Nobody's really, like, if you're at a, you know, good enough level of tattooing, people aren't trying to finish your stuff.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So you compliment each other then?
Sure, yeah. Especially when it comes to large-scale stuff. It's like, well, I'm working on a client right now who he's got both of his arms done from a guy who's like a legendary Japanese tattooer from Canada, and I'm doing his back. And I started tying his back into his arms, and then he went out to Saskatchewan and got tattooed again, and then he like backfilled where I was working, so we just like mutual, like, cool, man, I saw what you were doing, tied him together, now his arms tied into his back.
Wow.
We didn't even have to talk. It's just like the same, we know what we're doing. So it's a lot of fun, and then especially when you get to work next to art that is as good as this guy was doing. I'm like, cool, man. I'm like, did you think mine was good? And he's like, yeah, he said it was cool. And I was like, ah, right.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of respect there for, like, just the collector mostly. It's like, how are we making this person, I don't care what you're doing and how you feel about me, but how are we making this person look better?
It's really gratifying to you, isn't it, to have a successful, like, even when you were just talking there, your smile just went boom, right?
Yeah.
You
know?
No, that's great. It's a feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's elating.
What plans for the future? You're just planning on planting your feet here and just growing your business? And
yeah, I think starting is home. It's, you know, I couldn't think of anywhere to go. Like, when I wanted to leave the GTA, I was just like, I just don't know where to go. We thought about going to Belleville.
Yeah.
I went up there for a visit, and I was like, maybe not Belleville.
Yeah. So did you have some connections to Sarnia that you were talking to, and they said, come here?
I've been coming and visiting for the last handful of years, like 6-7 years. I've been coming down and hanging out, and just everyone here is really relaxed, which I found to be. And there's industry here. Like, there's people working. A lot of trades, there's a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seemed like a pretty good fit.
And it's always nice for someone like me who's lived here all my life, never left, to hear somebody leave another location and come to Sarnia and say, there's opportunity here, there's work here.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the people, and I know it happens in every city, there's nothing to go here, or it's been called, you know, Sarnhole or whatever, and it's like...
It's generally people that are born and raised in a place they called it a dump.
Right. But it's really great to hear somebody else say, I love coming here, so...
Well,
because when you move anywhere, like, that's a life choice. That's where am I going to be? Am I going to like it? Am I going to move again?
There's room here for some like arts and culture stuff. Like there is a lot of artists around, and like we're gonna be start doing art shows and makers markets and stuff like that here, where we're just bringing artists together and hanging out. Cause
it's a great hub.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's lots that the doors are wide open for, that just somebody needs to set a bar, start doing it. There's lots to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine being here for quite some time. And
well, that's great to hear. Yeah. That's great to hear. I, just so you know, will likely never be a client.
That's fine. You could be a friend.
But I could be a friend. I was going to say, I'd be happy to pop in. And I know you got a nice pool table there. If I bring my wife, she might never leave, just so you know.
Sure. She's working on my game.
She likes to, she plays twice a week. So she's,
oh yeah. She can give me some lessons.
And she's pretty competitive.
Yeah. One of my buddies, he's a competitive pool player. And he's giving me some lessons.
There you go. It's a beautiful table.
We need to come and work here because we can't be getting schooled on our own table.
Yeah, right, right.
They're like, yeah, come play pool at my place and just get my ass kicked by everybody.
you talk about a stigma to the industry. You know, I think, well, I mean, in many industries has stigmas, but like the word biker comes in, or like I don't think of a school teacher getting a tattoo.
Sure.
But it's all different types of people, yeah, right?
I got tons of, like, I have more non-biker type clients than anything. Lots of nurses, teachers, childcare workers, a lot of tradesmen. Yeah, they're like everybody. Everybody gets tattoos. Everybody likes tattoos.
Do you, what about this, I guess you call them temporary tattoos? Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any of that?
No.
No. That's just not... No, and I expected that answer.
I painted some kids' faces at a sidewalk sale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a bad hit. Yeah. I think we were doing the face painting, and it got to be too much work, because you get a whole bunch of kids, and I'm like, I've never even done this before, so I'm like just putting paint on a kid's face.
Right.
I'm like, this is going to take me all day. There's like 20 kids lined up, so then the next year we just did like a little rub-on tattoo.
Yeah.
Cloth. I was like, good, that was less work.
Yeah,
like,
we have a couple here in Sarnia that that's what they do. The Painted Cat, I'll give her a shout out.
Yeah,
she's well known for that. And sometimes you just, like, I just thought the temporary tattoo thing would be like, if I wanted to see a tattoo, what it would look like.
Sure.
And then put it on and then go, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. But like, that's never
with like technology. It's really easy to like take this and superimpose it onto your back.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
So you just, like, oh, that's how it would look. Or, like, you know, I put stencils on people. I'm like, go home and wear that for a week and see if you still like it. Or take the picture of the tattoo that you're thinking about getting and put it on the mirror where you get ready in the morning. If it's still hanging there in a year, maybe get a tattoo.
Right, look at it every day. And then eventually you get tired of it. You go, not that anymore.
Depends on where you're putting the tattoo, too.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, you don't really care.
Yeah. Do you, when you talk to people, I'm just coming back to that. I'm just trying to get my thought there. Is there a point, like, you just really say, you just, like, you talk them out of it? Because you just know that's going to be a bad decision? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, you're not all about the money.
No. Like, it's about making people make informed decisions.
Right.
So, like, I would... Well, one of, like, if it's a really bad idea, I've already made up my mind, I'm not going to do it. But I'll explain to somebody why.
Right. You don't, like, just say no.
I'm just going to say no, but I'll tell you why I think this is a poor idea for your tattoo. Right. Nine out of 10 times, they go, yeah, okay. Well, then what is a good idea? But this is a better idea. And, like, I'm a fresh professional. That's why they're coming here.
Yeah. So
that's why
they
always take my advice.
Right.
And if they're really stubborn, I'm like, okay, well, I'll see you in a year when you want to get that silly ass thing covered up.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry that you're going to make this decision, and I wish you wouldn't, but it rarely happens.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time, people, they're a lot more educated on tattoo now, like, because of the television shows, which is sometimes annoying, because someone will be like, well, yeah, I know that they can do it because I saw it on the TV show. And it's like, well, that's fine, but it's a TV show, you know, so, but people are also like, they see better quality work on TV.
Right.
So they're like, the bar is set a little bit higher.
Sure.
So they're not really wanting the same level of, like, really, like, they just expect something a little bit better than they would have expected 15 years ago. So
right.
Some people are bringing in reference where it's like, holy shit, I can't tattoo that.
Right.
Like, I don't do that. Like, that's some crazy Russian realistic tattooer. Like, I don't do that kind of work.
Yeah, sorry.
But, no. But I will point you in the direction of somebody who can.
Right.
Like, I've definitely got a lot of tattooers that I'm close personal friends with that I can be like, this is the guy you want to see anyway. You want to get the best tattoo possible? That thing is not, you're not going to get it from me, but I'll give you the number to a guy that can.
Do you remember your first tattoo job? Do you, like the first tattoo you ever did on somebody?
Yeah, it was on my dad.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. What was it?
It was a skull wearing a toque. Really? With two cross drywall hatchets.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He was cool with that, was he? He was like, okay.
He didn't want anyone else to be my first tattoo.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and it looked brutal.
Sentimental?
Yeah. Every time I see it, I'm like, whoa.
Wow, I was bad.
I've done sleeves on them since, and even the sleeves are old now, too. But pretty cool, pretty interesting.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I got a lot of like my original clients that I grew up with, because I started tattooing in my hometown. So I tattooed a lot of these guys, and I've tried to be like, hey, we should fix that up. And they're like, no. Your original work. I'm like, oh god, don't tell people that.
I know, that's why I want to fix
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. I want to fix it. There's like an old saying where it's like, you don't start tattooing in your hometown just because, yeah, don't pee where you
right.
You know, I know what you're trying mean. To say.
Yeah.
Because then, and this happened to me when I was in that town. Like, you go out for a meal and the waitress comes walking up with this terrible tattoo that you did on them. It's like, I really wish I didn't do that. Or I really wish I wasn't seeing it.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Let's talk money for a moment. Like, if someone comes in for a tattoo, like, do you price that by the hour? Is it by the project?
Loosely, I base price off the hour.
Yeah.
But for, like, large-scale stuff, I have a set. Like, this is how much I charge every time you're here, just so people know what they're going to be spending.
Right.
I'd really like to keep it, like, not just predictable, but you know. So then you know what you're going to spend. You're not,
so they can plan.
Yeah, and you're not caught off guard. And if you can, you know how much you're going to spend every time you're coming to an appointment. You're not going to get surprised. You know that you can afford it. You'll eventually you'll get all the work done. If you're showing up and the price is different every time, that as a client, that used to drive me insane.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you do that.
Yeah, pretty much the same price as every other tattoo shop.
Yeah.
That's in existence, you know. We're pretty fair. I like to see people get tattooed rather than leave with a tattoo and not being able to pay their phone bill.
Right.
That's kind of, I use that example because that's happened to me a couple times. Right. I got this line work done from somebody and I was like, all right, man, cool. And I was a tattooer at the time. And I got this line work that would have took me an hour. It took them 6 hours and they charged me appropriately. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? I'm like, I watched you do the dog on this the whole time and that's what you're going to charge me? And they're like, yeah, man, that's the price. I'm like, I never got tattooed by him again. I felt completely ripped off and I didn't like the experience. I never got tattooed by him again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm never doing that to people. Yeah. I like seeing people get the work done and have a good experience while they're getting it.
Well,
money is a main part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel like you're getting hosed.
You got to pay your bills here, but I mean, at the same time, there's that integrity thing again.
That's right.
That's awesome. Brian, I can't thank you enough for sitting down and welcoming me into your studio here.
Thank you.
And for all of those watching, you got a website or how do we find you?
You can go to our Instagram. We do have a website. It's under construction right now, I think. But it's Hoju_tattoo is our Instagram.
Nice.
You can book appointments through hojutattoosarnia@gmail.com. Okay. My Instagram is Bakey Tattoos, Mallory Joan Tattoo, and Vizzy Tattoos.
Okay.
Those are the other people here.
We'll put all those in the comments. So
perfect.
For those who are watching, you can even maybe just arrange a time to stop in and see Brian and check out this amazing space here.
Yeah, consultations are free.
Yeah, stop right. Thanks so much. I know I'll be back having a conversation. I don't think you're never talking me into that tattoo.
I might.
Think.
You never
He's
know.
Gonna
I'm
try.
Pretty, I'm
well, you know you have to try now that I said you'll never do it.
Maybe I'll get a bet. I mean, I'll get a bet going, a pool going with some of the guys.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, right? And a shout out to our friend Pat, who connected us, right? And yeah. And I know he was reaching out, hey, have you guys connected yet? It's like, yeah. No. So he really helped make this happen. Thanks to you, Pat. And thanks to all of you for watching. And I'll say what I always say, click the like and the love button, but please click the share button. It's the most important button so we can share Brian's story and everybody else's story that I talked to here on the show. But right now, that's all the time I got for you this week. Have a great week and an even better week. I will see you next time right here on the show.
Cheers.
Bye for now.